Welcome to our podcast. Here's Melissa,
Laura,
and Rob.
Hello, welcome to today's podcast.
Hello, welcome.
How you doing, everybody?
So we have a special guest with us today, Hannah.
Hello, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Hello, Hannah. She is a cacao expert, and we should be punished for taking so long to do a episode on cacao when the podcast is named after cacao. Shame on us. We all get locked in timeout for 20 minutes later.
So let's start with blessing the cacao, and then we can dive into more cacao delicious stuff. Would you like to bless for us?
Yes, thank you. So at this time, you can take your cup of cacao. You may start to hold it near your heart, possibly the third eye, the place of intention. But wherever you are, just begin with gratitude. Start to call forth a loving energy, a frequency of appreciation. As we thank this plant medicine of cacao, we thank the hands that have prepared and cared for this plant. And we are grateful to have the opportunity to commune with this medicine. Take a nice deep inhale through your nose, fill all the way up. Slowly release as you start to call in more love to your life. We ask that the spirit of cacao shows herself today to guide us, to teach us, to help us to remember that all is love. We ask to resonate with the frequency of love. And we will consume our cup with so much appreciation. Another deep inhale through your nose, fill all the way up. As you slowly release, blow your intentions into your cup and ask this medicine for all you desire. Blessings and enjoy your cacao.
Aho.
Aho, everybody.
Thank you, Hannah. That was beautiful.
Thank you. So this cacao is a special one. It was sent to me by Jen, a friend in Utah, and she also does cacao ceremonies. She's also a Bufo priestess or practitioner, and she got this cacao from Guatemala, and she actually did one there, so it's a specific farm, and women makes this cacao, and this cacao in particular is really what worked through a lot, after the fermentation, they toast it, ferment it, right? And then, that's when you make the paste, and they go through that for a long time, so it becomes very creamy.
Creamier.
Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to taste and see how it is. And she really suggested this as the best cacao she has, so I'm very excited for all of us to try it.
Yeah. Well, that begs the question, is there a difference between cacao from one region to the next? Right?
There is totally. Go ahead, Anna.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Melissa is really good at sharing this piece, but it does bring different properties, qualities, taste. What I love the most about the all-female farmed Guatemalan cacao is really the frequency. The taste is beautiful. The energetic property is even more amazing because we think of the spirit of cacao as a female spirit. And so when we have these women who are completely devoted to this plant, they're infusing and they're carrying their own feminine vibration into the medicine. So when you sit with it and you really lean into it, you're just coated in that blanket of feminine energy. It's tangible to me.
So Hannah, you mentioned that cacaos from different areas have different characteristics and profiles and stuff. Can you share with us what some of the differences would be? Mm-hmm. Like, what are the different kind of properties mm-hmm. that are in cacao?
So without adding any spices or sweetener, when you're just looking at the actual cacao bean, you will have some beans that are more nutty in nature, others that have different notes of more chocolatey, vanilla, if it was grown near a vanilla vine. And of course, the region of being up in the mountains or a more tropical or humid climate can affect the way that the taste is.
Hmm. So if you grow vanilla vine around your cacao tree, you can have vanilla chocolate?
Essentially.
I want that.
Wow, like, my brain's broken.
The aroma or the, you know, the property of just being near that plant. Of course, traditionally, a lot of people will farm, you know, the vanilla or the panela or the raw sugar cane near the cacao tree, and then they take all of those components and they make their blend or their medicine with it. And it's all beautiful the way it all works together. I mean, those plants know each other and they've been with each other for a long time. So when you bring them together as one, they're very powerful.
Hmm. So I know, Hannah, you sell your own cacao. Mm-hmm. What region is your cacao from?
I carry two cacaos right now. One I've worked with for a very long time. The other has just been a couple years. One is coming from an all-female farm in Guatemala, and they prepare the cacao to the Mayan tradition with the Mayan spices based off of the Mayan calendar, with the panela and the vanilla. That's a very common way that you'll see the cacao being blended. That one is farmed. And then the other cacao that I carry is from Ecuador. And the very interesting thing about this cacao is that it's actually wildly harvested. And so this means that the cacao is existing and someone discovered it. And it's growing completely off of, you know, natural water. It's not being irrigated. So it makes it very special.
Nice. And what do you feel different qualities from each batch or mm-hmm. the differences between the two?
Mm-hmm. I do. I feel that the Guatemalan blend has, yes, you can feel the nutrients and the superfood nature of it. But to me, it has more of a ceremonial feel. In a sense, the frequency, the sensations that you experience after consuming are very prevalent. And then for me, the Ecuadorian cacao is very nutrient dense. It's more nutty in nature. It does become ceremonious if you give the ritual and the intention to it, but it's more of a frequency that you have to create and lean into with the cacao.
Oh, interesting.
Hannah, which is the cacao that you give us? Which is the one I got?
You love the Guatemalan cacao.
It's delicious.
And I believe because mm-hmm. it is sweetened, you know, naturally with the panela and the Mayan spices. So that cacao is really great because it just comes already prepared in that ceremonious fashion and the traditions are there. So I think that you connect with that piece of it.
Oh, yeah. It's so delicious. I have a cup of cacao every morning. And every once in a while, Laura's like, hey, let's have some cacao. And I'm like, it's all gone. Sorry.
I know.
That happens pretty often, like at least once a month.
I'm like, hey, let's have some cacao. And he's like, yeah. Or I'll just go in the cupboard looking to make some cacao for myself. And I'm like, man, he ate it all already.
It's so amazing. Whereas Melissa, she like enjoys getting a raw cacao paste mm-hmm. and breaking it down and really channeling her spices and her sweeteners and selecting mm-hmm. her own. So that's the beauty of, you know, the abundance and all of the creation that has come out with cacao over the last, you know, I don't mm-hmm. know, 15, 20 years, that people have started designing their own blend, but then we get to be creative and still take a raw paste and add in what calls to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. There's also like difference of certain molecules in depending on the cacao. So you have in Peruvian cacao has more of the alkaline that is similar to caffeine. So for anyone that wonder if there is caffeine in cacao, there is no caffeine in cacao. It's an alkaline that is of the same family of cacao, but there is a difference. So the energy that you receive from cacao is not energy that stimulates your nervous system. That's what caffeine does. and when you stimulate the nervous system, then you have a crush. The energy you get from cacao is by dilating your blood vessels. So you have more blood flows and more nutrition that go all around your body. And that's what gives you the energy. And it's a more sustained energy and does not give you this crush. But having said that, so a certain kind of cacao, like Peruvian one, has more of this caffeine alkaline and less of theobromine. I never know how to pronounce it.
It's a long one.
Theobromine is the molecule of the god. Theo is god. And because also cacao is considered the food of the god. And this molecule is the molecule that gives this heart-opening feeling. So like the Guatemala or Ecuador cacao has more of that heart-opening. And we have the grass cutting in the background. I don't know if everyone can hear from the microphone. That's okay. And compared to the Peruvian cacao, it's really more energetic. So it's also, you can choose the cacao you want to consume depending on what you want to achieve. Mm-hmm. So like maybe if in the morning you want to have more of that energy, you can choose the Peruvian cacao. If you want more a ceremony, a heart opening ceremony, you choose the others. They all anyway give you this, elevate your mood. Mm-hmm. So they all give you anyway this more feeling of connection, heart opening, better mood. Anyway, just like, but there are these differences that are like definitely there. And one of my favorite, like as Hannah was saying, like it's beautiful to mix and find your blend. And when I had this Peruvian cacao and I mixed it, I did a blend with 2/3 cacao from Guatemala, 1/3 Peruvian, and it was the absolute best of both worlds.
And I love that statement that you made, that you get to choose. And cacao has a very well-known idea that it's heart-opening, but I love to take it a step further because, you know, cacao is also an herb, and it's actually one of the only herbs, not the only, that can work its way through all of your internal organ systems and many meridians in the body. And so the person that I receive my cacao from always tells me, you know, tell the cacao where you want it to go. So yes, we know the cacao is heart opening, but as you consume your cacao and you say, this is the region of my body that I want to bring this energy to, you can design that for yourself, whether that's something energetically like a chakra or an emotional body. Maybe it's something more physical, like I would like my liver to receive more nutrients, or my brain, I need some brain fuel today for this giant project I have. Or maybe it's, you know, the more common idea that we're sending this medicine to our heart, to open our heart, to choose the frequency of love. But remembering that you are the design of your experience when you sit with these plant medicines. And if you simply not ask, but you demand, you will receive different benefits and your experience can be completely designed for you.
Mm. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. So I have a question. So is there a difference between cacao and ceremonial cacao?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think with any herb, especially cacao and plant medicines that you are consuming very intentionally, you want to dial in on several things. I mean, yes, when we look at, there's a difference between chocolate powder and ceremonial cacao paste and the way that it is cared for, harvested, processed. Typically, the chocolate that you can purchase in the stores, they've removed all of the benefits or the healthy qualities that ceremonial cacao has. And in that process, you miss the physical response that ceremonial cacao brings, or the energetic property, right? The most important part for me is knowing the source of the cacao. How many hands has this cacao been passed through? How long has it been sitting on a shipping container? What vibration was the person harnessing when they cared for your cacao? And where's the intention? And is it all in reciprocity? Is the person who farmed and cared for your cacao also being energetically charged from this exchange, this interdependence that we have when we work with these plants? So yeah, there's a ton of things to look at. Clearly, you want to know that the nutritional value and the energetic property when you consume cacao is still in the plant, and also is the person that you're receiving the cacao from in the highest form of alignment, and that's for you to decide.
Hannah, when someone's going out and purchasing cacao or taking a look at, mm-hmm. you know, what is available to them, are there certain things that they should avoid in particular cacaos? Are there any brands or things that have certain additives that should be avoided?
Yeah, like anything in the grocery store.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like,
yeah, I mean,
because you'll see the little cacao chocolate bars in mm-hmm. the grocery store, and that I think is a different like, yeah. frequency, like what you're talking about, right?
So. Yeah, absolutely. And I think it depends. Like, if you're someone who is choosing to consume cacao in a smoothie, then yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with going into Whole Foods and selecting a really nice cacao bar and chopping that up to go into a smoothie or a dessert. But if you're wanting to sit with cacao ceremoniously, almost anything, it's pretty rare that you'll be able to walk into a store and purchase something of that
right.
grade. Mm-hmm. In addition, it's become very popular. So we have a lot of companies popping up with cacao, ceremonial cacao, but it's really just cocoa powder. It's not the same thing. So I always recommend to find a very small source, someone who knows exactly where this farm is. Mm-hmm. Someone who's holding it to the highest degree they can, with a lot of integrity. And you'll know when you sit with that medicine, and just by kind of checking out what they do on their online, like, I want to know that this plant medicine that I'm receiving has gone from the farm to one person's hand and into mine. That makes me believe that, you know, it is the best form of it that you could receive.
Yeah, and I know both Melissa and you, Hannah, hold cacao ceremonies. Mm-hmm. So can you guys talk a little bit more about like how you hold the ceremonies, what kind of cacao you use for those ceremonies, and how much of the cacao you put in?
Mm-hmm. Should I go first?
Yes, you can go first.
So I really love to work with cacao. Also, as being a life coach, I like to sort of compose cacao ceremony in a different way, or use this medicine in many different ways. So I want to do what I would call like a classical cacao ceremony. So I serve the cacao, and I prefer to use cacao from Guatemala, so with more heart opening effects.
Mm-hmm.
And like the basic of the recipe will be cacao, water, cayenne pepper, and some sweetener.
Mm-hmm.
And then the ceremony would go into like blessing the cacao, consuming the cacao in silence with mindfulness, and then meditation to help or connect with the heart even more.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I call a classical ceremony. And it's always beautiful to really leave space for this medicine. And when you, because this medicine has a subtle energy, right? It doesn't take you and shake you like ayahuasca.
For sure.
So you really need to allow the space for it.
Yeah.
Right? So when you allow the space, and especially there's people with you also, so in the ceremony there's this multiplication effect of the heart energy that happens.
Mm-hmm.
And it just like you feel this vibrancy and connection and like excitement. And I did not think it would happen, but it also happened when we did a virtual cacao ceremony. The heart were able to connect even like far away through Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Which was I did not expect it. I was really happy about it.
Yeah.
But still, we were able to connect.
It's beautiful.
And then I love to use cacao for, like, use cacao first to open up and to help this connection. And then maybe do some, depending on the person, if, especially if I do one-on-one, I would do a tailored ceremony and do some coaching. And I have very, very great, very good results with people of like a two, three hour session with a cacao ceremony and coaching. It was really effective for them. And it was like a really pivotal ceremony for them to have. That's it. And then also like to put some art sometimes together. So just again, drinking the cacao and then maybe some expression. Yeah. And so on. I really love this medicine because it just helps to create, as we said, like you can create like the blend itself with other spices and so on. You can also create the ceremony itself with just your creativity and what the other, the people that are there need.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it's, and it also opens your creativity. So it's like after you consume it. So it's nice that also by to create the ceremony, there's all this creative phase that happened.
Mm-hmm. So beautiful. So you ask, what do we do within a cacao ceremony? And so many answers for this. I enjoy circling with people and preparing the cacao. And we do so many different things. And it's usually very intuitive and almost organic depending on the location and who's arriving and what their medicine is that they're bringing individually. But always preparing the cacao, I usually select the Guatemalan blend because it's very, middle ground. It's not too spicy. It's not too sweet. It definitely brings the effect. It's a good like introduction to this medicine. And we allow a circle. There's usually going to be a fire, always beginning with leaning into the elements, allowing, creating a sacred space to allow the elements to come forth, and just getting everyone on the same frequency, explaining and educating. I think that's the most important piece, really, if you decide to gather people and share plant medicine, is to open up the space by explaining what this medicine is and what the properties are, and then reminding everyone about the intention and the gratitude towards this plant. And that's how you start. And then to allow everyone to become centered and to sit with the cacao. And once the cup's finished, that's really when the ceremony starts. That's when the frequency is in you. And at this point, there are so many different modalities of expression to embody this plant spirit, whether that's allowing people to share from their heart, share intention, share desires, share what's coming up for them. Because when we do consume cacao, it can bring up a lot of emotions and sensations to the surface that may have been a little more dormant in our system as we become more sensitive. To share music, to allow people to play with rattles and drums and possibly dance and breathe freely. And some people enjoy journaling, others enjoy walking in nature. I like my cacao ceremony to be early in the morning, and I take my cup of cacao down to the garden and allow, you know, the earth to speak with me and to me through this cacao. So yeah, there's so many different ways, and I think it's a beautiful way to hold ceremony. But I think what's more interesting is the integration piece, that this cacao, yes, it's ceremonious, that can also be a great tool for integrating. So as you embody these different practices with your cacao, you can integrate life. You can integrate some other journeys that you may have had, or various things in your life. It's a really great tool to allow yourself to flow and to open yourself up to things that are surfacing in a really gentle way, where you're kind of feeling a little more loving, a little more compassionate towards yourself to look at the material in your life.
Mm. That's so beautifully said. Thank you.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like every time that I've sat ceremoniously with cacao, it just, it exponentially opens up my heart even more, and I find so much gratitude and love for the people surrounding me, for the plants, for this earth, and it's just such a beautiful way to celebrate our life, and it allows that those emotions to come through us in such a very clear and gentle way. Mm-hmm. I think cacao ceremonies in general are actually one of the most beautiful things you can participate in.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you haven't had the opportunity to do a cacao ceremony, you should. It seems to, for me, really bring out my inner child.
Nice.
I mean, I think I remember back to the first cacao ceremony we did. It was in a Maloca, and Maloca is a big tent. It was probably 40, 50 feet across. I mean, we must have had 20, 30 people there.
It was the one I did?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was 40 people.
Oh, yeah, it was 40 people.
I did not expect. It was like, I think it was like 20 sign up, and then 40 shows up. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
To make more cacao.
Well, it was beautiful.
Yeah, it was fantastic. And I remember, you know, we did consume the cacao and then sit there in, you know, sacred silence. And I remember sitting there just feeling goofy, looking at people across the room, smiling and, you know, giggling back and forth. And it was just, you know, this fun little feeling of being like 7 years old and having a sleepover and drinking hot cocoa. It was so much fun. But a note of warning, if you have not had cacao, don't make the mistake of thinking it's like hot cocoa. Because it doesn't taste like hot chocolate.
Yeah, our kids did that.
Yeah, they came and were like, what is this?
You know? They're like, this doesn't taste like hot cocoa, Mom.
Oh, especially, so my first cacao ceremonies, and I think Hannah and I shared this, experience. My first cacao ceremony, I was more purist, so it was just, like, pure cacao, you add your own sweetener, and cacao water like that. And, like, very dense. And then I noticed how, like, for many people, it's hard to actually drink that much cacao, that dense and that bitter, because when it's ceremonial grade, it's bitter. And so that now we both prefer to, or at least I improved my recipe to make it, like,
more, a little sweeter. Yeah.
Little sweeter. Mm-hmm. It tastes better adding other spices. And I put, like, less cacao per person. So in grams, a ceremonial dose will go from 40 to 60 grams. Mm. And I think my first ceremony, I put like 60 grams per person, like the highest. But it's hard if you never have the experience. So now I do 30 to 40 grams. So less, but I encourage people to serve themselves. Mm-hmm. Because what I noticed was like people not be able to finish it. And just break my heart when I have to throw that away. And it's like, okay, I just rather have them the amount that's right for them and serve twice, thrice, I don't care, but not throw everything down the drain. Mm-hmm. So sad.
Yeah, I remember that my kids didn't finish their stuff, so no. I drank it.
I drank theirs
some,
too.
Yeah, and some other people, and you know.
We're like, I'll finish it.
We had
for
a
you.
Lot of cacao in us, man. We were zooming.
It is interesting. I've heard people say that the more bitter the cacao, the more loving it will be.
Hmm.
But I think it's medicine. It's their herbs. They, you know, we aren't supposed to overconsume. So I think that's why the bitterness is there and almost that acidity in a sense. Like if you have a lot of cacao, your body's going to say to you, hey, that's good. I think I'll take a break. You know? And so, but we do learn as, you know, the American way is that if we add sugar to things, it's a little bit easier going down.
Right.
So, it is interesting, the contrast. And when someone's just getting introduced to cacao, I think allowing it to be a little bit on the lighter side and preparing it with a sweetener of their choice to their liking and even adding a non-dairy milk is helpful to get them to meet that medicine in a way that's a little more comfortable for them. Mm-hmm. And then as time goes on, you can start to play with possibly just preparing the cacao with water, like the traditional way, and maybe cutting back on the sweetener and really feeling that energy of the bitterness of the cacao. And that's also a really good way to tell if you have a quality cacao is... If you backed out the sweetener, what would this taste like? What does this feel like?
Mm-hmm. While you're on the topic of sweeteners, I will share my favorite sweetener for cacao. Mm. That's organic pure maple syrup.
I like that too.
Yeah, I prefer organic stevia. Mm-hmm. But that's me, so, you know.
Yeah, I think it's whatever. Too. Many people don't like stevia.
My preference is definitely local honey, organic maple syrup, or raw sugar cane. It's panela. That's what they're taking from Guatemala with the cacao.
So what is panela?
It's a form of raw sugar cane that grows in Guatemala and a few other regions. But it grows near the cacao, and they take it all from the same place and put it together. And it's, to me, a lot of people prefer to stay away from sugars, and I honor that completely. But I don't mind consuming the raw form of sugar cane when it comes from, you know, the farm that the cacao's at, because I really believe in that traditional way.
Mm-hmm. Sure, yeah. I mean, you certainly want to stay from the ultra-processed, refined sugars that come out of a factory.
Absolutely.
But other sweeteners are certainly, they're good for you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and not in moderation, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would like to share some historic facts.
Ooh, history time.
I love history.
Let's do it.
So, yeah, and you can all contribute to what you know about.
We going back to the time history of Montezuma?
We can go back to the time of Montezuma.
Yay. So
definitely, we know, we heard how the Maya used to consume cacao, and how that was like already considered like a ceremony plant. Indeed, it was consumed mostly by the emperor or the king, and not by normal people. And it was consumed. So, I would not pronounce this correctly, but it was consumed with corn and cacao in this kind of meal that was called like chocolate, something like that. So that's where the name chocolate comes from.
And wait, corn? Like as in the vegetable corn?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And it was this, and it meant like bitter meal because of the cacao.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, and I met a Native American woman, an elder, who still prepare cacao that way, actually.
Mm. Yeah, well, so corn is really sweet. I mean, I'm obviously high fructose corn syrup in there, so I'm kind of interested to taste that.
To try them together?
Yeah. I mean, you get corn on the cob and pour some cacao over it.
Interesting, too, because that was that original way for them to consume ceremonial cacao with corn, like a cornmeal and cacao. And apparently, again, it's still done from some tradition. And so cacao was so considered such a precious plant that cocoa beans were used as a form of money at that time.
So wait, they were like cocoa beans were like
toasted and fermented.
They would, and then just they would share use that as money, like to buy stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, interesting!
It was just as valuable as gold.
Oh my god, I would eat all of my currency.
We wouldn't be very wealthy.
I would be so poor.
Yeah.
You go to the store and say, "I really like that shirt. I'll give you, you know, a dozen cocoa beans."
Yes,
they found like certain, like how much was what? Like I think, I don't remember now, but like for a llama, four cocoa beans.
As wow.
Maybe more for
that's interesting.
A whole animal. But
my goodness, the four of us would be so poor.
So imagine this is 4,000, 6,000. I mean, there are many dates that people say 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 years ago. And we don't have a lot of resources for nutrients or food. And then you stumble upon this cacao.
Superfood.
This superfood that gives you a ton of energy. Mm-hmm. You can go to war. You can do your battle. You can go on your long excursions, your journeys by foot. And it's giving you the stamina and the drive. And then it had this euphoric, godlike feeling. Mm. And people are like, wow. So for many years, people were hiding it for themselves. It was stowed away like amongst different territories. There was definitely wars about who had the cacao, and there was people who utilized the cacao like gold, like currency, because it was that powerful to those people. They were like, wow. They really believed that God gave it to them. I mean, there are some stories of Aztec people who, in their community, they were having a lot of hardship and a lot of heartbreak and a lot of hard times. And they believe that the reason why is because their people slowly began to turn away from living with nature, living one with nature. And then they discovered cacao, and it drove them back to their heart space, and it led them to be more with nature. And that's how they maintained their tradition, was with, you know, that loving frequency towards nature. So there are so many different anecdotal stories, and I just think it's incredible to think about how long ago this plant existed, and that it completely changed back in like 1880. I don't know the exact date when Nestle came out with their powdered hot chocolate. Right. And it really didn't surface again, like the true reality or the true nature of cacao and the power and the nutrients that it has, until like the early 200s, I think, when the superfood, you know, fad came online, and all the superfoodies were like, oh, this stuff is good and different. And they started kind of having these little parties where they would all get together and share cacao. And so it brought a lot of people back online in the health scene. But then we have a lot of people now who are more interested in cacao for the spiritual practice and for you know, the plant medicine experience. So it's interesting to think about why we come to these different modalities and what really keeps us in relationship to them.
Yeah,
that's so interesting. And there's a story from Europe and cacao.
Oh, yeah, because you started adding sweetener to it, right?
Yeah, so, so of course we know that the conquistadors arrived to South America around 1500, and then they start to bring back many food from this continent that we did not have in Europe. Like, we did not have potatoes, we didn't have corn, we didn't have tomatoes. You wonder why we were putting in pizza or pasta before. And so we did not have cacao. And so they start bringing back cacao, and the first conquistadors were the Spanish. And at first, it was not well received because it was bitter, right? But then the Spanish court, starting in the 1600s, they started to drink more and more cacao. And the only way at the time was to actually drink it as we're doing now, ceremonial cacao, and like as a drink. They did not know how to make a cacao bar or anything like that. So they will make ceremonial cacao, and it became such a big drink in courts. First of all, the court in Spanish, and then starting because, you know, the aristocracy, they would marry with each other, so they would bring a little bit of their tradition from their own court, and so it starts spreading throughout Europe, and all the court in Europe will just drinking cacao.
Because they're smart.
And, yeah, but and right? it was just a drink for the rich people, for the aristocracy.
Right.
And they knew also about the aphrodisiac effect.
Aphrodisiac.
Yeah. Yeah, and their story how certain, like, king and queen needed that to make kids.
Interesting.
And also it was so popular that, first of all, we see some trace of that, like, in operas, talking about cacao and... Yeah, and
very cool.
And also there was, so, you know, normally you would go to the mass, you would need to fast before to consume the, I don't know how you call it in English, but like the body of Christ.
Oh,
sacrament.
The sacrament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Eucharist.
But these ladies will go and consume cacao during the mass.
I would do that too.
Me too.
I'm just saying. That if you offer me doing cacao or the body of Christ, I'm sorry, but I'm going to take the cacao. I love you, Christ, but no, cacao.
Like, yeah, because like, well, that's still fasting. And there is this story of this priest who was really against, so this anecdotal story, was really against consuming cacao during the mass. And it was just, and he died by consuming cacao or something. Oh.
And he died.
And he died. And so it's like, okay, we continue to consume cacao at the mass.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Well, you shouldn't be worried about choosing cacao over the sacrament, because the Mayans looked at cacao as the food of the gods, and they even have a patron god of cacao. who is Echua.
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 Like Echua.
Yeah. I mean, and with the active ingredient being theobromide, with theo meaning God, you're totally on the right track.
All right.
Cow it up, baby.
Good.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
And then how Hannah said, like, then it was Nestle that was able to, like, make cacao more popular. I mean, for more affordable for everyone, but also by making it more affordable, creating cacao bars and all that became more chocolate, and we forgot about all the properties that this plant has that we are rediscovering right now. Yeah. But still, Europeans are the most the most lovers of chocolate. Mm-hmm. So 50% of all chocolate and cacao production in the world is consumed by Europeans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you think how small Europe is compared to the world, we eat a lot of chocolate.
It's true. And I think the deepest golden nugget there is to always honor and remember the tradition, the indigenous, the cultures, the history, the different minds and hearts that have been behind keeping this here for us today. It's a blessing, and it's something to be humbled by. So I'm super grateful, and it's fun to walk back all these different ideas, these histories, these fun facts. But they are good reminders to just honor all of that and hold it close to your heart.
Yeah, and I think like you said, I mean, throughout history and time, I mean, this beautiful plant has brought us back to not only ourselves, but to the connection to all that is around us, to our earth, to know that that's why we're all connected so much. I mean, we're connected to these plants and we're connected to one another. And this plant is so beautiful because it actually activates that remembrance in us as we ingest it. Mm-hmm. So it's just a beautiful time. And it's done it throughout all the years and in different ways. And, but you can see, you can witness it throughout history and how we've used it. And it's beautiful. It really is.
It is. Cacao is a story worth embodying.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. I'm going to have to use that as a quote. So, yeah. So, I know you have a ceremony coming up this weekend. Hannah, do you want to tell us about it?
Yeah, super exciting. Obviously, the cacao is alive in me. I'm like, yes. I have a ceremony with Cherie, and we're having a hape and cacao circle in the countryside of Eustis, Florida. And I do enjoy this style of ceremony because we have two different plants here. We're working with the grounding nature of tobacco, and then we have, you know, this very expansive and loving frequency of cacao. So we like to get together. We do share about the different plants and the properties and how to hold them sacredly and sit with them ceremoniously. And then we open up the space and do that. And when you sit with the tobacco and you allow yourself to ground in and clear and you really create the container for yourself there, then you consume the cacao. It changes the experience. So you go in with different frequency and you get to kind of play with the entanglement of these two plants, of the very masculine nature and the very feminine nature. And it brings up different feelings, different ideas, kind of getting to see things through a lens of deep clarity, but also with a lot of love and with a lot of desire. So it's very fun. So if anyone's interested in circling, please let us know. We always keep these ceremonies around. So follow us and stay connected for that.
Yeah, Hannah, where can they find you and learn more about your ceremonies and opportunities to buy your products?
Thanks, Rob. I am on Instagram at Hanumandali, which is quite a long word, but we can spell it out if we need to. But we'll just link it down below the podcast.
Come on,
you can find
spell
it there.
Spell it. Let's spell it.
Hanuman Dali.
That isn't spelling.
H-A-N-U-M-A-N-D-A-L-I.
We're going to link it down below for all of you. And yeah, please.
I just did it.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Laura. But yes, Cherie and I both carry beautiful cacao, so you could find that product there. But if you know, even if you have another cacao that you find and you want to ask and see if it's a good quality or if it's a reputable source, reach out and ask us.
So you are a cacao assessor as well?
No, never that. I know, Rob, you mentioned the word expert. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't claim that title either, but I am very interested and curious.
You're about, passionate about it.
Passionate about for herbs, sure. And cacao, yeah, especially, because it's mm-hmm. been a great tool in my life. So
yeah.
I'm grateful to know this medicine, and thank you for allowing me to share.
Absolutely.
First, thank you for coming here.
So. Yeah. And thank you, Corey, for turning on the sink in the middle of our podcast. It pairs well with the lawnmowers.
So I'm done with my cacao.
Everybody's so are we. Done? Yeah, I'm done right. too, sadly. So,
yeah. Thank you, Hannah, so much. Any last word about what you're doing about cacao?
No. It's all perfect. Thank you so much. Blessings and enjoy new information about a beautiful plant.
Yeah.
Thank you, everyone, for listening.
Thank you for coming and listening. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Hannah, for being here and sharing all your wisdom. Mm-hmm. And Melissa for making this beautiful cacao mm-hmm. that's absolutely delicious. And for our listeners, for anyone who wants to know more about cacao or to connect with Hannah, please let us know. We can always get you in touch. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been a beautiful day. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Cacao you later.